serve God along with us. As I announced this morning, the topic that we're going to undertake tonight is the idea of the home. And I think that it's interesting. I was talking with David just a few minutes after the service this morning, and he said some things that I was going to say in the lesson, and thought that was kind of interesting. I think it is difficult for us as Christians to understand the tremendous impact that our homes have. They can either be an impact for good, or they can be an impact that is a negative one in so many different ways. As we think about that idea, if our homes are not what they ought to be, as we think about that, we start to think about the things that are affected. First of all, I would suggest to you that churches are affected. If our homes are not what they ought to be, we see churches that don't have men who are qualified to serve as elders and as deacons. If our homes are not what they ought to be, we see churches that become discouraged and disappointed and hurt, disillusioned in many cases, because they look and they see perhaps young people or marriage relationships that are just not what they ought to be, and as a result the family not being what it ought to be, we see churches just in many cases devastated. I would suggest to you, if our homes are not what they ought to be, then we see personal lives affected. It may be the life of a husband or a wife. And after a certain situation has occurred, it's very difficult for them to come back and to be what they ought to be after they have been devastated in the way that they have. It may be that children are scarred for life. They turn out in the end to either be weak or at best half-hearted Christians. They aren't ever able to recover from the scarring that took place as a result of a home not being what it ought to be. It's interesting that we can look, and I think we can see that if our homes are not what they ought to be, our nation can be affected. It's interesting as you look back in the history of the nation of Israel. If you think back to the time of Eli and Samuel, we think about two tremendous men. But then we start to think about their sons. And we begin to think about a situation where Israel went downhill, turned away from God, led in a completely wrong direction, because those two men failed to discipline their children in the way that they should. A nation can be turned aside from God's way as a result of our homes not being what they ought to be. If our homes are not what they ought to be, we can see that an individual's hope of heaven is affected. It's not that a person cannot successfully complete the Christian race coming from a home that has suffered serious problems. It's not that. But I'll guarantee you, it is going to make things more difficult. It is going to put them in a situation where it is not as easy for them, perhaps, to do the things that they need to do because of the things that have happened to them in the past. And we look at all of these and we see that they are the result of homes not being what they ought to be. So we look at this, and we see churches that are terribly concerned about this. We see churches that are having special classes so that husbands and wives can engage in studies of God's Word so that they'll know what they ought to be. And perhaps children are involved in a separate class where they're being taught what they need to be as a spouse and being taught the relationship that they should be having with their parents. It may be that a church dedicates an entire week to sermons just simply based on the home and the family and all of these different things, trying to ward off the effects of failing homes. At this point, I would suggest that our problem, as we look at this particular situation, our problem is not in our knowledge. I dare say that as I look out over this audience, and I know some of you better than I know others, but as I look out over this audience, I don't see a group of people who don't know what to do in regards to the things that need to be taking place in our homes. That's not it. We have studied these things. We have looked into these things. And most of us, as we sit here tonight, haven't just heard them in recent years. We've been hearing this stuff ever since the time we can remember walking through the doors of a building such as this. And in many cases, some of us have had just tremendous examples that have led the way. The problem is not in our knowing what we need to be doing. The problem is in doing it. That's where the problem is. It is making application of the things that we have known for so long. It is putting into place the things that we know to do. And what I want us to do tonight is I want us to look at some of the things that we can do to put into place the knowledge that most of us who are sitting here have, so that we can have the kind of home that God would have us to have. This is important. Then tremendous amounts of good can be done just by the basic family unit being what it ought to be. And I encourage you and invite you to study along with me tonight as we look at some of these basic concepts that need to be put into place in our homes. The first thing that I would suggest to you as we begin tonight is that in our homes we must believe and accept God's instruction. You know, as we look at that, that boils down to the idea of faith. Faith is the situation where we put into place and we act on the things that we claim to believe in. You know, it's one thing for us to sit here and talk all day long about what we need to be doing in our homes and getting out the Bible and studying it and saying, this is what we ought to be doing. It's something completely different to take that and then to make application of it and put it into place. We must not only believe, but we must be accepting of the things that God has laid down. As you turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11, I want us just to read briefly from a verse that is found, it's verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Of course, this is the great chapter of faith where it talks about tremendous things that different ones accomplished as a result of their faith in God. But I want you to look at verse 6 because I think there's something here that goes along with what we're talking about tonight. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." The idea is that we must be people who are people of faith. Faith is not simple belief. Faith is belief that leads us to action. And so as we look into God's Word and we see the things that we need to be doing, we must not just state our beliefs in Bible principles, but rather we must put those things into action. There's a modern day example, I think, that kind of may hit home on this. Several months ago, the Southern Baptist had a convention. And if you remember, they came out of that convention, and one of the things that they came away with was the idea that wives needed to be in subjection to their husbands. And they came out and they said, this is what we've decided. And the world just went into a just turmoil over this idea. Wives ought to be in subjection to their husbands? And you even saw Baptist women being interviewed. What do you think about this? How can this possibly be a good thing? We're ruining all the advancements that we've made in modern day in the role of women. What is this about? But when you boil it down, the basic thing that they went back to was God's Word. They went back to the very simple teaching of God's Word and just came out and said, this is what we need to do. And you could just automatically see rebellion on that very principle. And so we look and we see what we need to be doing. We look at what we are to be as a husband or a wife. We look at what we are to be as a child. We look at the relationships that we should have in the home and in the family. And the question is, do we react much like that? I don't want to fulfill that role. Or do we believe what has been delivered to us from the mind of God and then accept that and put it into place? I want you to turn with me just over a few pages to the book of James and go with me to chapter 4. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, when we think about this idea that we know what we need to do, and yet the application perhaps is where our difficulties lie. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, James says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. As we look at ourselves and we consider the role in which we are to be and whatever that may be in our homes, may we realize that if we know what we are to be doing but fail to do it, we make a tragic, tragic mistake. We see many things affected as a result of that, but ultimately we see our relationship with God affected by that if we are not people who are willing to believe and accept God's instruction. May we be people who examine it and then conform ourselves to it. Not just people who state our belief in it, but rather people who act on that belief and do the things that we ought to be doing. As we consider what we must have in order to have effective homes, we must be people who control our lust. In many situations, lust is the root cause of all of the problems that end up coming about in our homes. That's the bottom line. We can blame it on anything we want to blame it on. We can blame it on a husband who wasn't what he ought to be, or a wife who wasn't what she ought to be, or children who were just constantly rebellious, or whatever the case may be. But too many times, when you boil it all down, lust is the root cause. We find ourselves in a situation where the wife cheats on the husband, or the husband cheats on the wife, and that marriage and that home at best are damaged. At worst, they're destroyed. You can find yourself in a situation where it will take years to recover, and if it ever recovers, from the damage that is done by one moment of unbridled lust. And so I think we see the vital importance of us being people who are willing to put those things under our control We must not allow ourselves to give in to those feelings that we may have from time to time. Instead, they must remain within our control. We must not allow them to run rampant. As I think about this, I think about the example of David. When I think about David, I think about one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of this earth. There is no question in my mind that as David looked at Bathsheba and saw her and lusted after her, it wasn't a situation where David is thinking, you know, I don't really know what I ought to do in this situation. David knew what he ought to do. If David had been and met together with some others on the Sabbath day before he saw Bathsheba and had heard a lesson in regards to controlling his lust, I dare say it wouldn't have made a difference. David knew what to do. The problem that we see that occurred with him and ends up occurring so many times today wasn't that he didn't know what to do, but rather he allowed his lust to control his actions, and as a result he sinned. And so we look at ourselves and we see that we can find ourselves in the same situation. The problem very well may be not controlling our lustful desires. Are you still there in the book of James? Turn back to chapter 1. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse 13. James says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Turn, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians, and turn with me to chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, begin reading with me, if you would, beginning in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, begin reading in verse 3. To the church at Corinth, Paul writes and he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Listen to this. "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." What is the idea that is presented? When do we find ourselves in trouble? It is when we allow those lusts to come up and we don't bring those under our control. It is when we allow our minds to run rampant and to dream up all kind of wild schemes, and then we find ourselves in a position where we try to act on those schemes, and then we run into serious problems. The idea that Paul presents as he writes to Corinth is we must bring those thoughts into captivity. Those are things that we must control. And I'll just be the first to tell you, I'm not the first, you've heard it many times, but I will tell you tonight that as we look around us and we see the world that we find ourselves living in, it is not conducive to Christians controlling their lusts. It's not. If I were to go around this room tonight and ask for a show of hands of people who have access to the internet, I suspect almost every hand, every family in this room, would go up. But we see over and over again, even the world is concerned about the kind of things that we can access via that medium. Not only that, but we turn on our television, we turn on the radio, we read a book, we look at a magazine. All of those things are presenting to us as children of God, people who are supposed to be living on a different plane, the basest elements of material thought. And we find ourselves in a very, very dangerous situation. Because there are things that we see every day that cause those lustful passions to burn. And unless we bring those things under our control and we make those things something that are captive so that they are not allowed to dwell in our minds, we can very easily find ourselves giving in to them. And so we look around us and what do we see? We see homes that are affected because people are failing to control their lusts. And until we get those things under control, we will continue to see that. And may we as children of God realize the dangers and not allow those things to become elements that we allow in our homes. It's dangerous. And may we be very careful to stay away from those things. We must put into practice the things that we know to do. If we're going to have the kind of homes that we need to have, we must overcome the world. the world would tend to throw at us a very different approach to dealing with our problems as families. And too many times what tends to happen is when we have those difficulties that may arise from time to time in our homes, many times we go and try to seek counseling. And many times the counseling that we receive is not counseling that is based on God's Word, but rather it's counseling that is based on human logic and human wisdom. We must be careful about that. Too many times those human counselors have no recognition of the laws of God. They are in no way trying to lead us down a right path, and they present to us the philosophy of the world. The philosophy of the world in this modern day, as we talked a little bit about this morning, is if this thing's just not working out, what you need to do is what's best for you. And so if this is a situation where your home is not satisfying you and you aren't finding fulfillment in that, then you just need to remove yourself from that situation and go find a better one. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you are the one you need to be concerned about and you need to be happy, and that is what is preached to us by the world. We can turn on morning television programs and hear that kind of stuff on the main networks. That's not right. That's not the counsel that God would give to a husband and a wife and a family who is struggling with the difficulties that you may face in this life. And so when those times come, may we not seek counsel from the world, but rather may we seek counsel from God's Word and from His Word alone. We must be people who are seeking Bible principles in solving our problems in the home. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to Timothy, and you can imagine as he's trying to pack in this letter to him some of his final instruction and advice. And listen to one of the things that he tells him as he writes this final letter to his son in the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to read with me verses 16 and 17. He writes to Timothy and he says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." When we run into situations where counseling is needed, to whom do we turn? Do we go and flip through the phone book to find the local counselor who might can help us? Or do we sit down with God's Word and examine what He would have us to be and then allow those things to be the things that we put into place in our lives to resolve our difficult situations? That's what we must do. We must seek counsel from His Word. It has it in there. It is thoroughly equipped. We can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It can make us complete. When those difficult times come, instead of seeking that worldly advice that may be handed to us, instead we must seek the advice of God's Word and righteous people who will help us to see what we need to do. It'll instruct us in the kind of home that we need to have. But we must seek its counsel. We must be willing to allow it to change us and to guide us and to direct us in the things that we do. And so if you're struggling with a situation, whether it be in the home or anywhere else, look to God's Word. Seek His advice. Seek His counsel. It's the wisest you can possibly find. There is no human counselor that is alive today that can give us the sound advice that comes from God's Word. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by worldly ideas and worldly concepts. We are Christians. And as Christians, we must overcome the world. We must put behind us those things and those ideas that the world would throw at us. And instead, we must be children of God, going to our Father for advice when those difficult days come to us. I would also suggest to you that if we are going to have the homes that we need to have, that we must be consistent. Part-time isn't going to work. I cannot be the kind of husband that I ought to be just when company is coming over. I can't be the kind of wife that God would have me to be just when there are going to be others around to see. Part-time Christianity does not lead us to our ultimate goal. Part-time doesn't work. And I'm afraid that this may be one of our greatest failings as well. It very well may be that the reason we see so many problems in the home is because we present one thing on the outside, but we're something completely different when we're in the confines where we're of those that we're the closest to. So when people see us when we're out, they see a strong pillar of strength as one who claims to be a child of God. But when you really boil it down and get down to the heart of it, that's not what I am. And it may be that I don't know that about you, and it may be that the elders don't know that about you. It may be that only those who are the very closest to you know that about you, and I guarantee you that eventually those relationships will break down if you're not consistent in being what God would have you to be. We must come to realize that we must give 100% in our relationship with God and in our relationships with each other and in our relationships in our homes. We must be consistent in the role of husband and wife. We must be consistent in the discipline of our children. We must be consistent in the actions that we take from time to time as we deal with each other in that home environment. That is so vitally important to our home being what it needs to be. If children see a mother or a father who in one situation will rage at them and in another situation just kind of plays everything off, you can guarantee that they have no idea which direction they need to go. If you see on one situation a husband that is exactly what he ought to be, but a completely different person the next day, that is guaranteed eventually to break down, and vice versa. It just doesn't work. We must be consistent. Ultimately, what it leads to is we must determine that we're going to be true and genuine Christians. We are going to be people who are truly godly people. That's the bottom line. That's what we must be if our homes are to be what they are to be in the eyes of God. Will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want you to read with me verses 3 through 5. This may seem like a little bit of a strange passage to be reading in light of the topic that we're discussing tonight. This is the instruction that Paul is giving to the church at Corinth in regards to their giving to the needy saints in Jerusalem. But what I want to do is I want you to look at a particular phrase that's in here that gives the clue to why they were able to do the things that they were able to do, and I think is the same no matter what you're talking about as we try to serve God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, begin with me at verse 3. Paul says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Look at verse 5. "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." You know what the trick was for the churches of Macedonia? Paul just told us. They first gave themselves. They first gave themselves to God. They dedicated themselves to being what He would have them to be and being true Christians no matter what they might face. And so here came this need that other Christians needed help. And here they are in relative poverty compared to others who were going to be giving. And Paul is writing and saying, they gave above and beyond their ability. Why was that? It was because they first gave themselves. And I would suggest to you tonight that as we look at ourselves and we say, I want to have the kind of home that God wants me to have. And we look and we say, we know what we need to do. One of the reasons that it may not be happening in our home is because we have not first given ourselves to God and are maintaining within ourselves true Christian principles and values. And until we come to a point where we give ourselves to Him, and we stand up and we proudly say, in whatever situation, I will be a Christian and nothing will stop me. It is then that when we go into our homes and we see the most intimate inner workings of that family, that we will see a family that is what God would have it to be. Our children will see it. I guarantee you. Our wives will see it. Wives, your husbands will see it. And I'm just here to tell you that if you're not that, they'll see that too. And when they begin to see that I'm not truly dedicated to Christ, that's when they begin to see that home deteriorating and breaking down. And we can hide it for a while, but eventually it will come to light. As I said at the very beginning, I don't think it's so much knowing what to do as it is us putting it into place. Making the basic application of God's Word to our homes, being what God would have us to do. We must believe and accept God's instruction. We must control our lust. We must overcome the worldly environment in which we live, and we must be consistent in whatever situation we find ourselves. If we will do those things, then we will have the kind of homes that God would desire us to have. If we will do those things, we will find ourselves in a situation where we are enjoying happiness in this life, where we enjoy wonderful relationships as husband and wife and as children. Does that mean the time will never come where we face disappointment? No. But it's kind of like we talked about this morning. If we go by the basic rule of marriage, you're not going to run in very often, you're not going to run into the problems that so many are facing in this life. If we will follow the very basic principles that God has laid down in our homes, we're not going to run into so many of the problems that we see homes across this nation facing. May we have the kind of homes God would have us to. It has a tremendous effect on what happens in this group of people. May we realize that. May we be raising our children. May we be providing an example to those that we come in contact with, whether it be here or outside or wherever, of what a Christian ought to be. May this church, as we look ahead to the future, the years that lie before us, however long or short they may we be continuing to raise generation after generation after generation who fears the Lord, who seeks His guidance, seeks His counsel, so that for years to come, not that we glory in a congregation, but rather that we glory in the fact that souls are being saved, that lives are being brought to Jesus Christ, that people are trying to go to heaven. May we glory in that and in that alone. And may we do our part to be what we ought to be and help those around us as much as we possibly can. Seems to me, and I think you'll agree, that these things begin by people being Christians. Most who are sitting in this audience are, but there are some who are sitting here who aren't. Why not tonight take those first steps? Why not come to Jesus Christ? Why not come to a point where you say, I'm willing to place my life in His hands, and from this point on, I'm going to seek God's counsel and God's counsel alone as I try to make it through this life. You can try it other ways, it'll never work. And in essence, you may lead a fairly happy life. But don't forget that eternity awaits. And no matter how happy you may seem to be in this life, even though you haven't committed yourself to God, someday you're going to be standing before and giving an answer for why you didn't do what you knew to do. And then your eternal destination awaits. And even though this life may have been a fairly happy environment, if you haven't obeyed God, then the life that will be after this one, or the eternal death that will be after this one, will be one that you don't want to face. Give yourself to God. Submit yourself to Him. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for those sins to be washed away. Come to Jesus Christ. And may each of us who are children of God, may we continue down the path that we have started. May we look forward to eternal life with Him. And may not only in our homes, but in every situation in which we find ourselves, may we be true and faithful to the covenant that we've made with God. If you need to respond, we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.